With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and we continue now with our coach's profile. Before the high school season begins, we're talking now with Manchester Essex High School football coach Joe Grimes. And coach, welcome back to MSO, and how's your summer been so far?
Fantastic. It's been a very enjoyable summer for me and my family. Thank you so much. I hope you are well as well.
Yeah, it's been good. The weather could have been a little bit better, but my wife's 1 week off was the best weather week of the summer, so it worked out fine. Coach, I want to start with the first question we've been asking our coaches is, what's their very first recollection of being of watching a football game, understanding a football game, or just seeing it for the first time, or putting a foot. What's your very first recollection of your introduction to football?
Well, I very specifically remember the first football team that I kind of remembered following and going at the high school level specifically. It was the 91-92 Ipswich Tigers. I grew up in Ipswich, and they were a great Super Bowl team. They made a couple runs there in that stretch. I was like 10, 11, 12 during that stretch. You know, that was perfect formative years for little kids in sports and everything like that. You know, I'm a little eager that age, and the Tigers made a big run to the Super Bowl, and I remember those teams. And, you know, that's probably when I fell in love with high school football and just that whole process. And, you know, it was just that right time in the right town with the, you know, right group of kids, and I remember that run, and it'll always be special to me just watching that. And then I was lucky enough to be in college when the Patriots started making their run and you know, doing their thing in football, and that was really kind of, you know, the pro football explosion of the early 2000s was, mm-hmm. was such a fun time to be a man in his 20s back then. So it was really it's such a special time, that 90s, 2000s stretch for me. That's really when it happened.
When did you start playing football, and you know, what did you do? What was it, like youth football or peewee?
So I was actually a convert guy. So I played soccer most of my life growing up, and I was a little guy.
Okay.
And then I hit a big growth spurt in eighth grade, and I decided to try out for the football team. I was a tall, skinny thing all of a sudden, which was really good for me. And so I grew up in a football family and everything like that. And once the body came in, I switched over my freshman year in high school and never looked back.
And was this at Ipswich?
It was. Ipswich High. Yeah, I played for Jack Welch down for the Tigers there back in the late 90s.
All right, go back as a freshman, coming out of the eighth grade and being a convert. What's it like as a freshman when you know Coach Welch, you've seen Ipswich so often, you know, in your younger days. So what's it like trying out for the team as a really, really fresh, you know, fresh guy, you know, looking at these juniors and seniors especially?
Well, that's the fun thing. Before I was a varsity coach, you know, I coached JV football. That's always such an interesting transition year coming into high school for so many reasons, sports included, and football especially, how it starts right before, you know, you even enter freshman year. You know, football, you know, doing that was like the first official high school thing I did, was show up for, you know, summer practice or you know, that first couple weeks of school. I mean, first couple weeks of practice. And that's, you know, it's daunting to start high school and do that, and you know, there's always new people and new stuff and new buildings usually and everything, and you know, that's what football, I remember kind of feeling just like part of the team almost from the very beginning, you know, feeling like that group of guys trying to work and get the work in and do that stuff, all the things that coaches and players enjoy about the camaraderie that comes with football. You know, that was my football experience. That's what I did the first couple days of high school. The first couple weeks of high school was playing football and getting introduced to that group. So by the time that actual school started, you know, September 1st or whenever it was back then, you know, I already felt like I had my group of guys. You know, we had a group of people that I knew, and we were ready to go, and we were practicing that night. We had a game coming up, and we had a JV game probably coming up, you know, somewhere in that stretch. We already had our stuff to do. So it was really, you know, part of that high school experience of kind of just starting to fit in. It's such a hard transition from middle school to high school already, and having football to be part of that was really good, because, you know, you want to have that community and do that type of stuff. And that was kind of my experience. Like, football helped me get through that first couple, you know, months of high school, for sure.
I was an Army brat, so we traveled everywhere. And the easiest way for me to try to fit into a new community was to try to play sports, play baseball, football, whatever it might
Absolutely.
Be. And you do develop friendships that way, and you also you begin to learn how to get along maybe with people you don't even like, but as a team, you know,
learn to make it work.
Yeah, you learn some skills that way. So tell me about your transition through high school and how you developed as a player and where you played.
So I transitioned as a player from we joke, I ended up on the O-line D-line by the end of my time, and I started off as a tight end, so I went that path, which we always say is fun. That, you know, you turn out to be a little bigger and a little slower, and you make your way to O-line. But I played in the O-line, and I loved the O-line or something like that. But We ran the wing tee up in Ipswich back then, and they still run some variation on it, but we ran the classic wing tee stuff, and Coach Wells did such a good job with that. He ran it for 30 plus years. You know, he knew every nuance, that type of stuff, and I really enjoyed playing on the line. I played center, and I really enjoyed making all the calls and the different things that come into the wing tee. That part of the kind of strategic game that I loved, and that was fun to play with the different guys and, you know, play with a couple of fast guards in that offense, and then the bigger tackle guys come in, and how do you use those, and how do you match up every week against those things? That was what I kind of gravitated towards, and that's no surprise I ended up going down the coaching path later. That's the type of thing that I really liked about that. And so, you know, I was never the biggest, tallest, fastest, strongest guy, but I was a hustle guy, and I loved, you know, trying to be as smart as we could out there and doing that type of stuff in the offenses that we put together. And then, like I said, just the team stuff and, you know, going down that path and working with the same group of guys and building that rapport and working with new guys as they, you know, the guys that, you know, you start off joining the varsity guys that are older than you, and then you become those varsity guys and you bring up the guys behind you. You know, that's the learning process. That team stuff, that team building stuff is what I always liked. I was a baseball guy too. I love playing baseball for the same reason. I love that kind of group mentality that you have to get through a baseball game, to put together an inning, to put together a win. And so that's the type of guy that I was, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I just love that part of high school athletics. Like you said, it helps bring in new kids. It helps guys work, you know, to get better. It's such a positive thing for the kids' lives that, you know, that's why we love it, and that's why we do it. And that's the part of it that I really liked back then, you know, even though I wasn't able to put my finger on exactly why I liked it. It wasn't until later looking back, like, oh, yeah, that was the part of it that I liked. And that was the part that was really kind of impactful to me as a man, as an adult, and, you know, what I try to teach to these kids on our team, you know, my kids at school and everything, you know.
Well, more and more football has become a cerebral game in so many different ways, especially the higher level, you climb. But center has always been kind of cerebral, hasn't it? You sort of have to know what's going on everywhere.
Absolutely. And that, especially in that offense that we run, where so much of that is, you know, just really throughout the game, just paying attention to what you're getting for front and how they're reacting to what they're doing. And, you know, that interaction, the O-line coach and the center usually are, you know, those guys that talk the most, coming back and forth. Just, what do you see? What are they doing? What are they, you know, where are they lining up the field? Where are they lining up the strength? All those things that go into it. It's like the quarterback. It's like the quarterback of the line, you know, that needs to know kind of where all the parts are going. And especially if you start, you know, doing trickier things to your line, start flopping lines or doing some really fancy pass protections, you want to have your guys to be cerebral and handle the uncertainty that, you know, blitzes and stunts and all the stuff that happens. You know, you got to be pretty dynamic and be ready to handle that stuff. And so that's the stuff that, you know, those nuances, like as you get to be a junior and senior when you're playing, you know, in high school, you get to start to actually see the game a little bit like that. And that's when it gets fun. And I love coaching, you know, kids that are 2 or 3 year starters that finally get to that point. All of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, I see what we're doing here. And they get to have, you know, that moment. That's pretty cool to get to that point strategically.
Yeah, it's always nice when you see the light bulb go on over the head, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that's the weird, especially when you know the kids. And so this is going to be my 7th year at Manchester, the 3rd as head coach. But I've known all these kids, you know, since they've been freshmen. And I love that, you know, getting a group of seniors that you've known since they were young pups. And getting them to go through that process and really see them go from JV guys to varsity guys to really studs and you know, people that are, you know, really contributors and making smart, tough plays. That's the fun part of the job. You know, that's the thing we're going to remember years and years from now.
You know, I remember I played JV football in Texas, and I wouldn't call it hazing, but there were real cliques among the varsity players and sort of a disdain for JVs and freshmen. And needless to say, we were not very successful. As a player and a coach, do you find that when the older kids can sort of bring in the new kids, especially in a small school, I think, it sort of makes everything so much easier, more cohesive?
Absolutely. And I mean, when you hear a coach say stuff like, oh, we got a good mix of kids this year, you know, it's that type of stuff that happened in the background that makes us say things like, that's a good group of kids. Because when they bring in the younger group and they integrate them, especially on teams like ours, you know, we're always going to be a smaller team. We're never going to be, you know, 70, 80, 90 kids on the roster. It's going to be 30, 40 kids if, you know, that's a real strong year for us. And those 40 kids, you know, we can't afford to have any of that, you know, amongst such a small group. We need to be cohesive and do that stuff. One of the things that we've been really lucky the past actually a couple years is that we've had a lot of brothers on the team. And so this year, again, we have a couple sets of twins, and we have some brothers that are older upperclassmen, and then younger classmen come through. So we've had statistically randomly, I suppose, but we've had a good, strong couple years of having older brothers, younger brothers, which has been great because the friends are already kind of integrated, and the people know each other because they've all been playing around in backyards and stuff for years and years together. So that's actually been one of the things we've been very lucky in the past couple of years, is to have some older younger brother combos that has helped us kind of break some of that. And we don't have much of that type of thing because most of these kids, like I said, have familial connections somewhere in the room, which is awesome, which is helpful.
When you have brothers like that, is there more competition? Do they get, like, especially does the younger guy, once he gets acclimated to the team, like, okay, I got to show I can beat my big brother, or vice versa?
Oh, absolutely, and usually in the most positive and fun way.
Yeah.
And you can tell that, and especially it's funny when we have one set of brothers that we've had years and years ago that they're very polite and respectful to everybody else on the team, but when all of a sudden they're jawing with their brother, it gets a little more chippy. You know, and it's one of those things that these are very nice, polite young gentlemen, and all of a sudden if it's their brother, it's like, okay, we're back in the backyard, which is so much fun. But in general, it's usually a very good thing, and maybe that's a lucky of having the right combination of brothers come through. Mm-hmm. But it's always fun to see that type of thing because especially when you have either twins or you have brothers that are close in age, you have maybe the sophomore brother challenging the senior brother. You know, that's always kind of a fun thing to see it when you're out in the field and you know, really up against it, which is one of the few arenas where you can really do that in a safe and fun and, you know, competitive way for kids this age, which is one of those things that we really just enjoy. You know, if we ever get two brothers on a competitive drill or something like that, maybe we'll end the practice saying, all right, let's get these two brothers out here and see whoever wins. If this guy wins the D-lineman round, this guy wins the D-backs round, you know, or something like that. That will make a fun thing like that every now and then. But that's the type of stuff that, like you're saying, if you can avoid that cliquishness and get everybody on the same page and get the sophomores and seniors, you know, integrated in a fun way like that, it's always a blast. So that's the stuff that's fun. What is it really doing?
Yeah. When you get together with former teammates and for whatever reason socially, what's a story that you bring up or someone else brings up that you remember from your playing days at Ipswich?
Well, I mean, Thanksgivings are always big deals, and you know, everyone seems to remember their Thanksgiving wins and losses pretty well. Those memories used to stay pretty well intact. Now, there's one particular game that a friend of mine, so like I said before, I played on the line, and we did a lot of stuff with centers and guards pulling and doing all sorts of things like that. So we spent a lot of time together, and I bumped into one of my friends that we played guard with. And we remembered one particular game, and I think it was Pentucket that we played up there in Pentucket. And it was one of these 6-0 games. And the only score in the whole game was a guard trap that was me and this other kid double team, this big guy, you know, this guy that was killing us all day. It was a defensive struggle all day. It was one of those back and forth things. And we finally moved this kid, turned this kid's hip once, and our running back made it through the line and ran for 60 something. And that was just one that we remember. It was such a brutal day. We couldn't get anything done. Coaches yelling up, you know, whatever. We couldn't do it, and we got one guard trap off. And, you know, of all the plays that we made, it was that and a blocked punt that gets talked about the most.
Right.
You know, one epic block punt and you know, that game and just kind of slogging through. That was in, like, the back half of a senior year. And the playoff system back then, you know, you really weren't going to the playoffs if you'd lost two games type of thing. And, you know, what to play for. And that was one of those ones that we came away with that win, and that was the hardest game that we ever, you know, like, right, we had to get motivated for, we just had to chug through the game, and that's when we reflect on a bit that sticks out in my mind.
Oh, cool.
As a matter of fact,
yeah.
I came up the other day with one of my old guard friends.
What was your relationship with football after high school?
So after high school, so I didn't play college ball. I didn't get into that. I actually got into coaching right when I was in college. I actually coached at a middle school, right after I got up, when I was still a junior and senior in college. And, like I said, I fell more in love with the strategy and the coaching and the motivation of the game and that type of stuff, fairly early on. Like, my path was always more towards coaching than it was towards playing at a high level. So I played, you know, some local baseball for a while and that type of thing after school. And so I was away from football for a couple of years, until an opportunity came up with the Manchester, crew, probably about 7-8 years ago, to get back into the high school ranks. And that was an awesome opportunity. And I started working with the younger kids back then, which was nice because I had some younger kids myself at the time. So I was pretty focused on, like, the development of younger kids, and I liked that part of it. And, the coach of the football part, what they started to run at Manchester, with their running back then, was the stuff that I had run high school, a lot of that wing T fundamental things that, again, I really loved the strategy on. And so that's what kind of how I got pulled back into the football world was through that kind of, just through that coaching element, and then I, you know, getting into a system and working with Coach Jeff Hutton over there, who's now over in Beverly. He was working on that system. We just kind of fell in love with that particular type of system that we're running now, and it was that drew me right back into coaching. It was fun. The rest is history, as they say. You know?
Yeah, well.
Having a blast ever since.
You mentioned Coach Hutton, and we talked to him about a week and a half ago, and his enthusiasm and his general excitement for the game and for the kids, it's infectious almost. I mean, as a coach, I think you you got to be a guidance counselor as well as a tactician, and you have to be somehow lift these kids up sometimes. And he talked about all the coaches have talked about the integration of kids and making sure that everybody feels part of the team. Are there other coaches that that have had influence on you besides Coach Welch and probably Coach Hutton?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, a lot of the guys that we compete against. Al Costabile up in Shawshe, he's one of those guys that now I've worked with since we've been in the Commonwealth and seen, you know, the influence of guy. He reminds me so much of Coach Welch and the impact that he had in Ipswich when I was a kid, and that impact that he's had up in Shawshe. I think he was at Fenwick before. Like, he's just been doing this for so long, and those guys, you know, not just from a football perspective. I mean, there's lots of guys that I respect from an X's and O's point of view, but just Al and then Jim Pugh, another guy that's been on the North Shore since. You know, he coached against me when he was at Masco, and then, you know, I watched him go over to Hamilton and everything, and you know, just such respect for those two guys to do it as long as they do, and how much they emphasize being a member of the community, you know, being a stand-up program, you know, that people can be proud of and doing that type of thing. You know, so much of what we do at the high school level, and like we talked about before, and I'm sure in the past years when we talked this type of thing, so much we do at the high school level is about community, as it is X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
Because football, I just think, is an important part of who towns are and part of that fabric of the town. And that's the type of thing that I, you know, I take away from every conversation I have with Al or Jim Pugh and those guys about just how to stick around for as long as you can. You do that by treating parents the right way, treating kids the right way, treating administration the right way, treating officials the right way, you know, doing all the stuff that comes with it. It's not by just, you know, saying, this is how we're going to do it. This is it. Coming in with really rigid things. It's like, how do you work with leagues and officials and all the things that go into making high school football work? Those are the things that you can't learn by watching YouTube videos or going to clinics where they talk about blocking and passing and tackling. It's how do you engage with the community? How do you make a stand-up program? And that's the thing that I love. Every time I get the opportunity to talk to one of those guys on the sideline of a JV game or bump into a coaching clinic or something like that, like, that's the type of stuff that, you know, you can really take away. And Coach Hutton, too. I mean, working with him for all the years that we've been together, like, I can't say enough about how, you know, like, his positive message he has for every single kid. You know, he's doing such a great job there in Beverly. And you know, between my beloved Hornets, you know, I certainly root for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing all the right stuff up there, and that's the type of stuff that as a coach I look at all the time. You know, I certainly like a lot of those tacticians out there. A lot of guys do interesting stuff on the football side, but those guys who run a program for multiple years and really kind of make their football program an anchor to their schools, you know, that's really cool stuff.
When I was studying,
we all aspire to do as coaches.
When I was studying mathematics, I remember often I couldn't figure something out, and I work at it and work at it and work at it, and I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand it. And then all of a sudden, one night, in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., I wake up, sit straight up out of bed, slap my forehead and say, you dummy, it's so easy, because my subconscious was working on it. So it wasn't like a dream. It was just, okay, clear your head. Let me take care of this. You get some rest, and I'll figure it out. And I learned it that way. And as a teacher, you know, the same thing sort of happened with when I'd run into a problem with my teaching. You think football, I'm sure, 365 days a year. Do you sleep well, and have you had nights where you've figured out something, your subconscious has done it, and it makes it easier for you the next day or the next week?
There are sleepless nights. I find my most sleepless nights are the nights before game night. Did we do enough? Did we prepare enough? Have I watched enough film? Did we have all the right conversations with my quarterback? Did he sleep well? Is he sleeping right now? You know, those type of things tend to keep me up. I tend to sleep pretty good the night after a game, win or lose, just I need to get some rest. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then the analytics part begins. Then it becomes, how late do we need to stay up to get through all the next week and the next film and everything. And that's the beauty of football season, is it keeps chugging you through.
Yeah.
Moving forward and doing that type of stuff. And I really, you mentioned trying to think of football 365 5 days a year, I actively, like you were just mentioning, try and take some time to either read some stuff about football or to kind of just refresh a little bit. And maybe, you know, like I said, we watch a lot of film and watch a video and lots of things like that. But then I like to try and unplug and grab a couple books about strategy or a couple books about leadership or a couple books about, I don't know, just something along those lines, and trying to kind of change up what we do. And so, like you said, I can come in with a fresh mind or I can come in with a fresh piece of it and give my coaches a couple weeks off where we're not really thinking too much about football. And like the July time frame is usually when we try and do that, you know, when we're just doing workouts and stuff and just kind of cleanse the palate of football so we can come in with fresh ideas. And then, you know, then we can objectively look back at last year and say, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we do better this year? And having that kind of thing that, you know, there can be something where you can't spend too much time doing it, but football does that. And all sports really have that cyclical nature. That's great to kind of reset. And so, we're definitely ramping up now back into football season, which is great. But that July time frame, we really try and kind of maybe think outside the box a little bit, or, you know, play a different sport, or try, you know, or try and learn something new in, like, in exercise, or learn something new in a different area that we might not be studying and doing that type of thing. I think that kind of cross training for your brain is important in general, but in sports, I think it's really good too, since we have that cycle.
You know, I think finally, when we broadcast high school games live, once a year, I get to be a pro. I get to sit in the Patriots radio booth at Gillette and you know, cover a Super Bowl game. And I'm an old guy, but it's so thrilling to do that. And I see a picture, the picture when you were Coach of the Week at the Patriots Coach of the Week. You're standing next to Andre Tippett, who is just, I mean, he's an oak tree. What's the feeling like, Joe, that the little boy inside of you, and I think all coaches and all athletes, that just doesn't go away. No matter what your age is, no matter what you've been through, there's still this excitement about football.
I mean, that's the thing. And I remember actually having this conversation with Coach Hutton one of my first years that I joined the Hornets. And I remember saying to him, thank you for letting me be part of your team, be part of this experience. Like, that's the part of it. You know, thinking back to, like you're saying, when you're a kid and you're playing those fun games of either, for us, it was like wiffle ball at the end of the cul-de-sac I grew up on, or it was like a touch football game somewhere. Doing those things and having that group of feeling like you fit in and you're part of it. You're part of the winning team. You're part of the losing team. You're part of the crew that's playing street hockey that day. You know, you just feel like you belong. That's a big part of that childhood experience of feeling like you're part of the group. And, you know, that part of it, like I said, never goes away. You always want to feel part of it. So we're lucky as coaches to still be part of that team mentality, to sit down with 25, 30, you know, 40 kids in front of varsity team, you know, to sit there and have a plan and try and execute it. And there's nothing like that satisfaction of having success with them and getting over a challenge, or, you know, putting together the game plan you wanted to and going out and executing and winning that game. Like, that's that group mentality, that type of stuff. You know, I don't think it's a human experience that ever goes away. I mean, a lot of folks get it at work. I'm sure that you get it on the stuff in the project that you work on. You know, when people come together to do something that's bigger than the, you know, the sum bigger than part of the, what I was saying is, you know, having all those people come together and do something that's bigger than just one person or two people, whether it's winning a football game or preparing for a football game or a bunch of teachers getting together to write some curriculum or whatever, all that stuff, that's the part of it that, you know, that I think is just part of the human experience, and that part of just being part of a group and getting that stuff together. And football, high school football, gives you a little tiny part of that. And, you know, these kids getting to feel that in high school, that's going to carry them on to be better dads and better husbands and better, you know, men and they grow into their adult lives. And that's the part of it that I love. And it's the same feeling as when you're 8 years old and you're getting picked for a Sandlot baseball game and someone goes, I'll take this kid, and go out there yeah. And you get a hit, and I belong here. I love this. This is fun. We're having a blast. I'm helping this guy. He's helping me. You know, I'm part of this team, part of this community. And that's the part that I hope never goes away from us. And that's what keeps me and my coaches. My coaches are all Manchester Essex alums. They're all fired up because they like doing this for the kids, and they like doing this for their town. They like giving back in that way. And that's the part of it that, you know, we just, it sounds corny and cheesy sometimes, but that's the reason that we really all like doing it. And, you know, preparing well and winning football games and doing that is part of that, you know, and that's why we like to do it. That's how we do a good job, is to go out there and be as well prepared as you can. And that's, it's still, like I said, it's still childlike and fun to me, and I cannot wait till our first Friday night to lace them up and feel that energy and have that sleepless night. But it'll still be worth it, and so much fun, and I can't wait.
Well, we're 1 week away from practice, Coach. What's on your mind today?
Today is I have, let's see, a box full of laundry that is in the back of my truck that smells so bad. it's in the back of my truck, not in the cab of my truck, and not in my house yet. And I'm deciding on how. It's just one of these things that fell through the gaps of getting washed so far. So the glamour of a high school football coach means that I'll probably try and either track down a laundromat today or tomorrow and do that without fouling up my laundry room at my house.
All right. That's the most unusual one we've had so far. So I appreciate that. Hey, Joe, we'll talk in a couple of weeks about the kids. But for now, thank you for telling us a little bit about yourself and helping us get to know you a little better. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Have a great rest of your summer. We'll talk soon.
All right, Coach. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. That is Joe Grimes, who is the Manchester Essex High School football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.